Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 583. It's the 12th of September 2016. On the podcast today, I have Dave Reeves, Managing Director of Keras Resources, KRS ticker, and Dave explains the news out today, which is a jam-packed RNS there. It's the acquisition of the Klondike Gold Project and the consolidation of the Warrawoona Greenstone Belt, plus the intention to dual-list on ASX and board restructure. Plus, I also have Eric Shea, CEO of MySquare, talks about the progress of the most recent app, which is MyFish, and the launch of the next app, Hawk Hero. Plus, Malky, Oil and Gas Sector Authority, talks about the following stocks, Hurricane Energy and Pantheon Resources. I also have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. You can see the top five followed in the last 7 days on the website. Plus, I have the most liked RNS of the last 24 hours. You can see the most disliked on the website. And also, I'll be covering today's suggested one for your watch list, which is Seeing Machines, ticker SEE. And it's been submitted by Groucho Marx. I'll be doing that in a bit.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Managing Director of Keras Resources. That's KRS ticker, Dave Reeves. Dave, thanks for coming on.
Morning, Justin. Great to be here.
Yeah, well, I've got to say, I'm looking at a sea of red on the stock market here. All my stocks pretty much down, looking across boards. And yours is one of the few stocks that is up to date, and that's because of the RNS you've released. And we'll go through that in a bit. But people not aware of Keras, Dave, can you give us a brief summary as to what you're all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So Keras is refocusing as a gold miner in Australia. We're currently mining some small gold deposits down in Kalgoorlie as what we call a tribute miner. That's mining other people's gold and sharing the profit. And what we are announced today is the acquiring of our own resource. So we will be in the future mining for ourselves. But focus is gold in Australia, which is a great place to be at the moment with gold price.
Okay, now it's a lot in this RNS. It's a good read, and there's quite a few people that have liked it on the Vox Markets website. And like I said, the share price at the moment, I'm looking at about 12% up, so it's nice. And that's against the tide at the moment, because everything seems to be down. But you've done an acquisition, and you've also attended dual list, and you've done a board restructure. So let's go through parts of that, Dave. Let's start off with the acquisition first, shall we?
Yeah, for sure. So the acquisition is, the founding piece of this announcement. What we've managed to do is consolidate a goldfield that's been held by separate entities over the last 100 years into one contiguous goldfield. So in the past, it's had work done on it. There's a defined 2012 JORC compliant resource of 374,000 ounces, but that's broken up by various tenements that sit within that resource. So what we've managed to do by tying it together is we'll be able to look at one continual resource along this whole 7 kilometres, and there's old workings that stretch, you know, as far as the eye can see. So that's the first part, which is we now own this goldfield 100%. By consolidating it, it gives us a really good shot at putting together a very large contiguous resource to support our own operation. Any efforts that we put in will be 100% ours, unlike the tribute mining, which we, you know, is a good model, but this owning something 100% yourself is what it's all about.
Yeah. And you're also, I'm quite excited, a dual list on ASX. So, and what's the thought behind this, Dave?
Pretty simple thought process, Justin, in that ASX valuations for gold stocks are very solid at the moment. And that's, I think, largely because the investors are seeing the cash flow that's coming out of the list of gold miners in Australia. And we've actually put a presentation up on our website that shows some of the comparisons on values on Australian dollars an ounce. Mm. And look, you can pick a number, but if you say the average is hovering around the sort of $80 to $100 an ounce Australian, then just with that 374,000 ounces, that's worth £25 million in today's money. Now, when we drill that out, and we're very confident that we'll be able to increase that greatly, you can see where the value heads and therefore where the share price should head. And by listing on the ASX, we get a direct comparison, or dual listing on the ASX, we get a direct comparison with the other people in that market. And as such, you know, certainly we would see a lot of interest out of Australia, and we think that would support increasing valuation.
Yeah, and this sort of falls on, you're sort of restructuring the board to be sort of more Australia-focused, are you?
Yeah, we are. Look, our operational centre is in Australia, management's based in Australia. It's good to have a board in the same time zone. You know, we still have a London-based director through Russell Lemming. We will still be an AIM, I'll still be coming over here chatting to people. But at the same time, we need to look at where our gravity is, and it makes sense to have the bulk of the board down there who are experienced also in Australian gold mining.
Yeah, well, you know, when people hear of a small company making an acquisition, they're part of them is, you know, excited, and then part of them thinks, oh, hang on, how are they going to fund this? And they're always worried about, you know, equity dilution. But what I think what shareholders have liked about this is that you're not using equity to fund this acquisition, are you?
No, look, we've put a facility in place, a bridge facility for 6 months. And if you have a look at some of those valuation comparisons that we've got on that presentation, and you look at where we should be as a comparative for dual listing on the ASX, yeah, we'll be looking at an equity raise at that point, but that's once we've done more work, a lot higher value than where we are now, and the money that we raise will be going into increasing the resource, which again has a multiple effect on the share price. So we see just up from here.
Yeah, okay. And of the on this announcement today, Dave, I mean, if you could say point to one thing that excites you the most, what is it?
Upside. Resource, market cap, share price. By tying this whole region together, you know, it is a first that it's been tied together, and it's just the upside that comes with that. Very exciting.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, we have a list here, top five most followed companies on Vox Markets. And whenever a company gets in that position, it always seems, sentiment and just interest towards the stock go into that company. And so if you could, in 3 points, Dave, if you could encourage people to hit the follow button next to your page at Vox Markets, what would those 3 points be, please?
Right. Well, we are owner of a gold resource in Australia, which is a great place to be. And we expect significant growth in resource, significant growth in market cap, and therefore significant growth in value for shareholders. And that's achieved through the resource growing and the dual listing on the ASX.
Marvellous. What time frame are you looking at for listing on the ASX?
Look, because we're sun-loving people down there. Christmas time, we shut down, unfortunately. So realistically, we are looking at sort of midway through the first quarter of 2017.
Okay, marvellous stuff. Dave, lovely to chat to you. And, like you said, you're going to be more busy with more news coming out, I assume, with this acquisition and all the rest going on.
So, yeah, plenty.
So I look forward to chatting to you in the not-too-distant future.
Good on you, Justin. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Eric Shear, CEO of MySquare, ticker MYSQ. Eric, thank you for coming back on.
Thank you, Justin.
Now, we had an RNS out today, a very good RNS, very positive for the company. We'll go through that in a bit. But for people who are unaware of what you do, Eric, at MySquare, could you just go through in a summary as to what it's all about?
Yes. MySquare is a Myanmar language social media entertainment and payments platform. And we focus on the country of Myanmar and providing apps in the local language for the 52 million people in Myanmar. Our current main product is a app called MyChat, which allows people to go ahead and chat in the local Burmese language, which allows them to send messages back and forth. It allows them to send emoticons and various stickers. And in addition, we also have moved into the mobile gaming. So the youth there are very focused on gaming, and we are providing some excellent games for them.
And people not aware of Myanmar should be sort of aware that the fact that it's undergone a sort of a revolution in commerciality of late, hasn't it? Because of also people may know it as formerly as Burma. But have you noticed a massive change there, Eric, I suppose, have you?
There's been tremendous change in Myanmar since the sanctions were lifted. There's just incredible economic growth. Just in the past 2 years alone, the number of phone handsets has gone from 2.5 million to now over 38 million phones in the country. Just an amazing growth. And MySquare is sitting on top of that.
It's one of those, you know, if you look around the world, I suppose, it's one of those countries that you can genuinely say has almost untapped potential, because obviously it's only now they're sort of opening up to the outside world, which is quite exciting, I suppose, from your perspective, isn't it?
It is. Myanmar has many advantageous things going for it now that the sanctions have been removed. One is it's geographically located in an excellent location, as in the center of many trading routes. The second is it has a large population, over 52 million people, 47% of which are under the age of 24 years and younger. And that creates a great opportunity for growth in the future. In addition, unlike some other countries, Myanmar is also underpinned by tremendous natural resources, both in minerals, offshore and onshore, oil and gas. And that adds tremendous future stability to the country and a huge foundation for growth.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about today's RNS. And on the 2nd of August, you released a game called My Fish here, and the traction is looking very exciting at the moment, isn't it?
It is. The game has gone viral. We've attracted in excess of 1.5 million registered users in just the first 5 weeks of release. And the key thing for us also now is the game is monetizing extremely well. One of the focuses of MySquare the past, since the inception until recently, has been to build a foundation of users similar to a land graph. And now when we've been focused on attracting users to the platform through our free apps such as MyChat, and now what we're doing is we're layering on top various ways to monetize those users, one of which is the gaming, another of which is advertising, which we currently work with both Google and Facebook, and then another is the VoIP, which we are going to be rolling out in the near future.
Yeah, and also this Hawk Hero has been launched today. Are you expecting good things of this?
We are. We're looking very forward to Hawk Hero monetizing also. And again, what's great about this is now that we have this foundation, which our foundation of users will exceed, you know, over 5 million registered users across all the platforms by the end of this year. And this allows us great cross-marketing opportunities where, you know, the 1.5 million people using MyFish, we can also now introduce them to Hawk Hero very easily. And that allows us, because we've made the investment in the actual user acquisition already, our costs right now are significantly lower than other companies. For example, in Vietnam, a gaming company will pay as much as $3 to $4 to acquire a gaming user. In Myanmar, because we already have the users and we can leverage off that for advertising and cross-fertilization, our cost of acquisition is significantly lower, in the range of 15 cents per user.
Yeah. And I'm looking at, like I said, in 5 weeks on MyFish, you've got 1.5 million registered users and your revenue is growing. It was at $800 per day, rising to a daily average of $1,120 per day in the first 7 days of September, and 3 weeks earlier than forecast, and in excess of $1,500 per day in the first few days of September. So the popularity of this game, how long do you expect it to live for example?
Sure. Games have life cycles, and the life cycle can range anywhere from 6 months to a year to, in rare cases, you know, two years or more. So what we're looking at is what you want to be able to do is release consistently additional games, and you can garner the users you have, because you always have a group of fans that stay with the game. And they continue to play that, but you want to add additional users to all of these. So if you look at a 9-month, 12-month life cycle on games, during that time period, you're adding additional games to your portfolio of games that continue to increase the monetization, But in addition, they leverage the platform in other ways. For example, if you're logging in through MyChat, you're also checking your messages, which increases the monthly active users that you get, which also increases the advertising rates we can charge on Google, for example. So all of these things feed into each other, and they all are synergistic and work together to increase the revenue for this foundation of users that we have. And that is continuing to grow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I suppose, you know, the chances of now, you know, Hawk Hero, like you said, being popular and successful are good, because you've already got 1.5 million registered users that you can promote to from MyFish.
Yes, and that's in addition to all of the millions of MyChat users that we can also promote it to.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous. Well, Eric, it looks like it's all going well. And if anyone needs any more convincing, could you give us three reasons why an investor should hit the follow button on your page of Vox Markets, please?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one is we have already done a significant land grab of users in country. So one reason is we now will continue to grow that, but we've already made that investment. So now we're layering on these layers of monetization. So if you look at it, we've accomplished a land grab. Two, we're layering on various levels of monetization. And three, this is happening right now. The country itself, as they continue to add phones and as it continues to grow, as I said, we're sitting on top of that 30, over 38 million phones that are in the country. We're sitting on top of that. And as they continue to grow, we'll be buoyed along with that and take advantage of that.
Excellent. And if people hit follow, they will receive RNSs from MySquare as soon as you guys release them. Eric, thank you very much for coming on. Look forward to speaking again in the near future.
Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Oil and Gas Sector Authority, Malky. Morning to you, sir.
Morning, Justin. How you doing?
Not too bad. And you mentioned it was St. Ledger Day on Saturday. And, you know, normally the saying goes that you know, everyone's back in the markets buying, and it's gone the opposite way. The markets have a bit of a sell-off.
Yeah, I mean, they're all, you know, buy May and go away and return on St. Ledger Day. You never know. It doesn't always work. I mean, like, it's actually remarkably accurate. But the other thing is that we often have big falls in end of September, October, when the weather turns and everything else. So who knows?
Yeah, yeah. And also, there's a bit of uncertainty coming from the American markets, as one of the guys from the Fed suggested that interest rates may go up as soon as next week. And also, Hillary Clinton now feeling ill. If she steps out, who's going to replace her? And if she's, you've got to say, you know, if she does step out, Trump is almost a shoo-in, isn't he?
Well, it depends how long it takes. I think that's the uncertainty of this market, or any market, to be honest. They don't like uncertainty. If she pulls out before the election takes place, it's possible for the Democrats, I understand it, to redo it. Whereas, if she carries on through and then wins and then is poorly, then the second runner, the vice presidency will be then, will take over. And of course, all of it means that there's probably more of a chance of the Trump, the Donald, creeping through. So, you know, no one likes uncertainties.
No. All right, let's look at some stocks, all stocks you've been looking at. What do you got in your mind there?
Well, the big stock I want to talk about this morning is Hurricane Energy, because it's a stock which it's in the bucket list. It's a stock I've talked about with you earlier in the year. This is what we were waiting for. They've been drilling the well on Lancaster, which is their basement, fractured basement play in the west of Shetlands. We weren't expecting particularly any news until a little later in the year, but this is such a barn burner that they wouldn't have been able to keep it quiet. I understand that the people working on the rig and the service companies were made absolutely certain they didn't say a word, but it had to come out at the end of last week. And the bottom line is that they've completed the logging and the testing phase of this well, and it does look like an absolute stormer. And interestingly enough, I mean, fractured basements, Hurricane is a slightly different play to normal. It's not sandstone drilling, it's granite and so on. And it's one of those ones where, you know, some people just put in the too difficult box, and the guy who runs it is a guy called Dr. Robert Trice. He's an absolute brain box. He's been absolutely convinced right from the start, and I knew him years ago at Enterprise Oil when he looked at fracture placements and so on, is that this would work, and it's come in for him, which I'm very pleased for. I'm also pleased for the shareholders who stuck with it. More importantly, you will remember one of the reasons I talked about it earlier in the year was that a company called Kerogen Capital, which is a hedge fund based out of Hong Kong, put a huge amount, $50 million into the company back in the spring. Two or three of their other big shareholders like Crystal Amber and Marlborough and so on backed them at the same time, at that time, which meant that they were able to go ahead with this drilling program, two back-to-back wells in the autumn without having to worry about the difficulties of farm-ins. And just at the moment, farm-ins are very difficult in the oil industry because normally it's smaller mid-caps trying to get a major to farm in, and majors are slow and you know how much capex they've taken off the table. Very reluctant to have a look at things, so this will be much make life a lot easier because the majors will come in and say you really have de-risked the project, and that's the key word. The Lancaster project is now de-risked. In the in the capital markets day, it looked like there was a 90% chance, you know, that there would be enough to make it work here. What we had was. Yeah, at the time, we now have a 90% chance that there's significantly more than 200 million barrels. So your 2C or your P50 becomes a P90, which is a technical term for basically saying that, you know, this is no longer a 200 million barrel field. The talk in the town is 350 to 500. I think 500 is easily achievable here. The top end of the range was 800. Yeah, there's no doubt that this makes this work probably, and I think that in terms of valuation, the shares have obviously moved up sharply, but there's still absolutely masses more in it if this continues to work, and there's no reason why it shouldn't. Horizontal well is drilling at the moment, and they've had a huge oil column, hydrocarbon column of 620 metres, and you know, I think that, that it bodes extremely well for Hurricane and its shareholders.
Yeah. Look at the chart there. I mean, on the Friday, it gapped up at previous resistance, was quite nice, 30 pence. It went from 24 pence to 30 pence, and it's up a little bit today.
Yeah.
And cool. That's a positive starter. Anything else you're looking at, Mark?
Well, I have to talk about Pantheon because you know, if what's happened. And the way the market are calling it is correct, then I've got this one horribly wrong. But at the moment, I don't think I do. I heard Jay talking on your podcast last week, and I've got a meeting with him this week. He's over in town. He arrives in town today to see investors and to talk people through. You know, there are plenty of people out there who don't think it's going to work. There are short sellers. There's a big American fund who's been short selling it. There's no sign of any closing at the moment, so they believe that they're right, and they might well be. People were asking me last week why I've kept in my 200p valuation. Well, until I see Jay and meet with him this week and to go through the numbers, I'm not going to change any drop out. I still think the play works, and I think that the two announcements last week, which were both poor, and the IR of the process was... you know, it was really badly handled, and they kept the market waiting, and I should have known when I saw it kept on being delayed and so on. But the bottom line is, on an operational basis, that you know, the frac job, they completed, you know, a few metres of, I don't know, 20 or 30 metres of fracking, with realising it wasn't going to be very easy to frack, and they will put that back on as a producer at some stage. Or, you know, and the well that was drilled, it just kept on going wrong. You know, Jay said it to you himself, you know, it was, you know, I'm surprised that no one has tried to do this before and failed, because, you know, if that had been the case, then they should have just drilled it as a vertical well. If I go back and drill it as a vertical, I think that when you look at it and see how they're actually going to play it, I would have thought that that they will end up now having, you know, VOBM1, and three hooked up at the end of the year, with VOBM2 coming in as well. So they'll have decent production in next year, as I understand it, this this well will. I don't think it's a disaster. I'm absolutely being proved wrong at the moment, and that happens, you know, mea culpa, would put your hands up. But I would wait, and you know, if I was a Pantheon holder at the moment, see what happens. The as I say, Jay is in town meeting people this week. There's a shareholder lunch on Wednesday, I think, and he will be able to talk it through. I'm more than happy next Monday, Justin, if what I hear isn't satisfactory, I'll come in here and put my hands up and say, you know, I made a mistake and it's coming out of the bucket list and it's not right. But at the moment, the jury's out for me and I just want to wait this week to see how it looks.
Marvellous. Well, yeah, we'll look forward to that. I mean, you know, I look forward to next week's podcast and also any of your thoughts on that on your blog there, Malky. Thanks for coming on and speak next week.
I look forward to it, mate. Take care.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. A huge measure of sentiment. Check them out. At five, Tlou Energy, T-L-O-U, really performing well there. At four, just had Eric on, the CEO, MySquare, M-Y-S-Q. At three, hugely popular stock, CloudTag, C-T-A-G. At two, Malky just covered them, Hurricane Energy, H-U-R. And at number one, I can see why it's been followed. I did send out a newsletter on the weekend covering this stock. By all means, sign up to the newsletter. I send it once a week. I send it on a Sunday, talking about stocks I'm investing in. And this is part of my experiment, our second trade. It's taking a big hit today as the market's gone down. But it is Sky, of course. S-K-Y. And if you go to voxmarkets.co.uk, /blog, you can see the blog post about Sky there, why I've decided to invest in that company. Also, today, the most liked RNS on the Vox Markets website. That is today, Metal Tiger. They've signed a memorandum of understanding with the Saudi group. Obviously, a new direction there geographically for Metal Tiger. All right, if you want to see the most disliked RNS, by all means, go to the blog there. All right, I've got to say that the most disliked RNS is also quite highly liked. It had the most likes and a lot of dislikes as well, but a lot of likes as well. So it's not all dislikes, it's a lot of likes as well. Okay, today's suggested one for your watchlist is Seeing Machines, S-E-E. I do like that name. Very futuristic, isn't it? Seeing Machines. Quite scary, really. Almost artificial intelligence, you know? It's been submitted by Groucho Marx. What does the company do? Develops award-winning intelligent driver safety systems for use in automotive, rail, fleet, and aerospace sectors. How many shares does the company have an issue? Just over a billion. What's current price and market cap? Its current share price is 3.625 pence. Market cap just over 38 million. What revenue and profit losses does the company generate? Half-year revenues grew by 594% to 29.3 million Aus dollars. And also that's 11.2 million Aussie dollars profit. Full year revenues expected to be 33.6 million. How much cash or debt does the company have? $10.2 million as of December 2015. List three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. Okay, number one, the company's strong partnerships and customer base has seen year-on-year growth. Among these partners are luminaries such as Caterpillar, four-year deal, BHP Billiton, Freeport, Electromotive Diesel, Boeing and Takata, or Takata. Two, a leading integrated electronics manufacturing services provider backed this company in a 20% premium placing in March 2016 at 5.19 pence a share. They took a 12% stake. The current price is 3.6. There's been a seller believed to have been bought in at 3 pence IPO, but this represents an opportunity to get into an exciting company at a huge discount to the institutional placing. And three, Seeing Machines have now signed a term sheet for the US investment company to spin out a separately funded automotive safety company focused on commercializing their technologies in the automotive market. Seeing Machines would still maintain a significant stakeholding in this company. Additionally, the company is developing and delivering driver monitoring systems, that's DMS, for a global car maker for their first and second generation DMS platforms, launching first in early 2018 models. I believe these key deals point to a significant undervaluation in the company's market cap. very interesting. And if you're taken by that, which I am, just add, you know, Sigma Machines to your watch list there, and you'll get RNSs from that company whenever they release them. So that's Sigma Machines, S-E-E-C is the ticker. Submitted by Groucho Marx. Thank you very much, Groucho, for getting involved. And by all means, if you know of a company that you think people should add to their watch list, please go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. You'll see one of my blog posts there. It's the Vox Markets podcast blog post. Click in that there, and then you'll see the link. It takes 5 minutes to submit the form, and I could be giving it the air of publicity, which sometimes that's all it needs. Thank you very much for listening. And that's it for the podcast. One tomorrow. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.